Okay, good morning, ladies. It's so good to see you this morning. Last week, Taylor spoke on pride, which is kind of a tough subject. This week, we are going to talk about our hope, believing God is who He says He is during our times of anxiety and insecurity. So this is a tough one, too. Our scripture for the semester, if y'all remember, it's Romans 15:13. I'll read it. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just such a powerful, powerful scripture. I don't know if any of you, sure, most of you probably have heard of Max Lucado. He's an author and a pastor in San Antonio. I love his books. He just writes in a way that is just easy to understand. And so I was reading or had been reading his book on anxiety or anxious for nothing. And so I'm going to say, quote him a few times in that. It's really a good, good book. Max says that anxiety is a low-grade fear, an edginess, a dread. It is, and I love this, it's a meteor shower of what-ifs. Isn't that great? A meteor shower of what-ifs. He says that anxiety and fear are cousins. They're not twins, but they are cousins, anxiety and fear. Fear sees a threat. Fear actually sees the threat. Anxiety imagines one. And isn't that true? Anxiety imagines one. Anxiety is a thief. It takes away our sleep, our energy, our health. Chances are someone that you know or you have gone through or had anxiety or going through it now or whatever. I'm going to give you some statistics that are just not really good, but I just think it's interesting and we need to know this. In a given year, nearly 50 million Americans, not people in the world, but 50 million Americans will feel the effects of a panic attack, phobias, or other anxiety disorders. Our chest will tighten. We might feel lightheaded or dizzy. We might fear crowds and avoid people. Did you know that the U.S. is now considered the most anxious nation in the world? Makes me really want to change some things, doesn't it? You? I don't want to be known as that. The thing about anxiety is it doesn't discriminate. It can be a man, it can be a woman, it can be married, you can be single. You can be a mother, you can be a daddy, you can be have no children at all, you can be a child, a teenager, a college student. You could be someone very famous or someone that's a regular Joe. You can be someone that's rich and has everything that they think they want and need. Or you can be normal, just like us. It can be any of us. Americans have more than they have ever had before. We have homes. We have food. We have clothes. We have cars. We have anything that we want. If we really look at it, if we want something, we can get it. How did we get here? What is the cause of anxiety and insecurity? Max says that it's change. That change has done that. Researchers report that the Western world's environment and social order have changed more in the last 30 years than in the previous 300 years. Yeah. This is one thing that has changed us. Can y'all guess what it is? Technology. That has changed us. We get so much information so fast, and before they even put it out, they don't know if it's true or false. We get everything just like that. As I was writing this, I do like to have background noise, and I usually have my music on. But for some reason, maybe the Holy Spirit, I had the TV on, and it was the 5 o'clock news. And what was the media covering? Anybody know? Absolutely. The coronavirus. And they were saying, everybody needs to get ready. It's coming to the U.S. It's going to wipe us out. It's going to kill. They were going on and on and on. And I thought, really? How many of y'all remember 1999? And in December of 1999, you couldn't find bottled water. You couldn't find canned foods. You couldn't find the old openers for those canned goods, because the electricity wasn't going to work. We weren't going to have any water. We were going to, I guess, just blow up. I don't know. But 2000 was coming. That's what happens with the media. They get us going, and we get anxious. We don't see that fear, but we're imagining what's going to happen. Don't hear me saying that we shouldn't be prepared for things. That's not what I'm saying. We should be prepared for everything. But we can't get caught up in the fear. When I first met my husband, I was working for him, and I was 21, and very, bless his heart, very immature and everything. But I had gone into his office one day, and I noticed on the credenza behind his desk was an open Bible. Why would anybody at the office have an open Bible? That's just where I was in my life. He was 24 years older than I was. He was a little further along in his walk with the Lord. And I said, what do you have open? I mean, what's your Bible open to? And he said, oh, that's my favorite scripture. It's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I said, okay. Well, what does it say? And Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that an amazing scripture? Do not be anxious about anything. I mean, he addresses exactly what we're talking about. We don't need to be anxious about anything. Why? Because we can present our request to God by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That's hard. How awesome is that? There is no need for us to be anxious or insecure about anything. We have God that is ready and waiting for us. I know that sounds easy. Oh, just give it to God. Oh, just pray about it. And that's not easy. It's not easy to turn anxiety and insecurities over to him. But it is the answer. I know it's not easy. I am one of those people that deal with anxiety and insecurity. You see, I didn't get up here during that drawing or acting anything out. There's no way. That's my anxiety, one, and my anxiousness and my insecurity. Well, last Friday, I wasn't here. I had an appointment. I had to have a brain MRI. And I'm a little claustrophobic. I'm really not a little, but anyway. I wasn't looking forward going into that tube and the noise and everything. My tendency is to get very anxious about things like that. But I'm going to tell you, I was not anxious. I really wasn't. My hope is in Jesus. I needed to find out if anything was wrong, and this is the only way that we could find it out. So I really didn't have a choice. Each year, I'll come back to that, but each year in December, I always pray and ask the Lord to give me a word for the new year. I don't do New Year's resolutions. I just ask him for the word. He kept giving me two words, and I was going, only want one word. I can only deal with one thing. But he kept giving me two words. The first one was trust. And I thought, okay, I'm going to have to trust him. What's going to come up this year? See, I'm already thinking. Anxiety. I'm already bringing in something that is not that I'm imagining. And the other word was rest. And I thought, I don't have time to rest. Right? We don't have time for that. But I need to rest in him. Well, a couple of weeks ago, our staff had an all-day staff development meeting. And most of y'all might know Bob Moss. He has taught at Cypress on Sunday mornings before. And he was talking to us about the importance of memorizing scripture. Okay, we're sitting there, and I am panicking inside. I'm going, I can't memorize scripture. Doesn't he know I've got to go have an MRI? I don't even know if I have a brain. I was having a panic attack right there. I am sitting with a staff that I have been with for 13 plus years on staff with. They're my friends. They're my family. And I'm having a panic attack because I'm going to have to memorize scripture, and they're going to be able to do it, and I'm not. This is what I was doing. I was getting lightheaded. I was blaming it on the cold that I had, but it had nothing to do with that. I was like, the lies of the enemy were running wild in my head. And it was really funny because the other day, well, a couple days ago, I was in the office and Bob came in and we're talking, and he's just so cheerful and everything is great. And so I told him about that. I told him what I was speaking on today. And I told him about that. He said, oh, I knew it. I said, what do you mean you knew it? He said, yeah, I asked everybody want to memorize scripture. And everybody's hands went up and yours went. He knew it. He knew it. So I'm just telling on myself. And remember that Max says about what he says about anxiety. Anxiety and fear are cousins, but not twins. Fear sees the threat. Anxiety imagines it. And I was full-fledged right in there with that. Now then, we're going to fast forward from that meeting to the MRI last Friday. I was more uptight about the tube, going in that tube, than I was about any results that I was going to get. I knew that I was being covered in prayer ministry team. I knew that Scarlett and everyone was praying. I knew I was covered in prayer and I was going to be okay. I did not want to get in that tube. I'd had a great morning with the Lord. Paulina was taking me to the appointment. I was calm and I was trusting him. Mm-hmm. But to be perfectly honest, I had that knot in my stomach and I was very anxious about it. I got in the room. The lady had me lie down on that hard plastic cable-like thing that goes into that tube. And she put a cage over my hand. It was like what I would think, well, it kind of reminded me of a hockey player's mask without the helmet, because it was all just that cage-like thing. Take a deep breath. My heart was pounding. I wasn't anxious about anything. My heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. I was really uptight. So she gave me a little thing to click if I needed to get out and start over again. I thought, I am not going to click that thing because I don't want to start over again. It was going to be 30 minutes in there. And she put these headphones on me and she said, you want some music? I have country. I said, Christian, I need Christian music. And so she turned that on and I said, a little louder, please. So she cranked it up and she said, I'll be talking to you through these headphones. And so, but if you need anything, you just let me know and we'll come out. I'm fine. So I'm listening to the music, taking deep breaths, and I'm just saying, Jesus, you've got to get me out of here. 30 minutes is a long time when you're in one of those. And remember, I don't memorize anything. So I'm laying there and I'm going, okay, I'll just pray for 30 minutes. Scripture started coming into my head, just like that. And I taught kindergarten for about, 6-7 years at the master school. And every year, my kindergartners had to learn. We learn together. Now I can say we learn together. 23rd Psalm. Everybody knows 23rd Psalm. Well, I laid in that MRI machine. And I pictured, I had been to Israel a few months ago, and I pictured Garden of Gethsemane. And I put myself in the garden. Jesus was sitting there. I was at his feet, and he was talking. And this is what kept playing back and forth in my head. And then Psalm 23, and I would say a verse, and I would picture that verse. And whether I was in the green line in the green pastures, or if I was being a meal was being set before me before my enemies, whatever it was, I would picture that. And he was right there. I felt my heart calm down. I wasn't anxious anymore. I was ready to get out of the tomb. I'm not going to lie about that. I was ready. And when she said, she pulled me out at one point and had to give me some dye, and she said, are you okay? And I said, yes. How much longer? She said, 12 minutes. I said, okay. We can do this, Jesus. We can do this. And it was fine. It was good. We made it. We, you see, because he was right there with me. I always am saying that. But it was so amazing how God works to calm us and how he works to take away that anxiety if we let him. We have to let him do that. His word is hope and truth, and it gives us life. It doesn't give us anxiety. His word will never give us anxiety. Max tells us that Paul's prescription of anxiety begins with a call to rejoice. We're going to go back to Philippians 4 and look at the two verses before that, verses 4 through 7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We can and we should rejoice in the Lord no matter what the situation is. There are times that it seems impossible. I know. There are times it seems there's no way to rejoice, but we can do it. He wouldn't have told us to rejoice if it were not true. Saturate yourself in the Word. Rejoice in your Savior. Know that the Lord is near. Pray with thanksgiving as you present your requests to God. The peace of God, which is hard for us to understand, will guard our hearts and minds. As women, the majority of us deal with or have dealt with insecurity. That just seems to be part of being a girl. We've got to have the insecurity part of us. Insecurities and anxiety aren't too different. I think that our insecurities cause our anxiety. Aren't there times when we don't feel good enough? We don't feel smart enough or pretty enough? We might feel alone. We might feel too old or too young. We're not dressed right. Sometimes we even feel like we're not seen. And we feel like my opinion really doesn't matter. Why do we do this to ourselves? We need to remember that God does not make any junk. I remember being that 21-year-old girl, and I'm sure I was insecure about something. And Ted said to me one day, God doesn't make junk. Stop. He does not make junk. He created each one of us for a purpose and in love. You see why I married him? 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 5 tells us, we are confident of all of this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. When we believe that we are not good enough, not smart enough, not pretty enough, on and on, those thoughts keep us from living out our full potential. Example, you give 100% of yourself to your job. or a passion you might have, or being a mom, being a wife, 100% of yourself. And you don't feel appreciated. You don't feel like anybody sees that you're giving everything you have, every bit of yourself, and you don't see that. And that they don't see that you're doing that. Well, the truth is, when we give the negative part of us value, we allow pieces of our potential to be chipped away at us. God doesn't want us to feel that way. He allows us to feel that way because he wants us to be aware of our weaknesses so that we can lean on him and his strength. But hear this, he doesn't want us to diminish our value. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Ladies, you are chosen. You're royal. You're holy. And you belong. And I want you to know that you are seen. In Genesis 16, it tells a story about Hagar, an Egyptian slave. What a life she had. And we're going to read about that in our smaller groups today. The thing about Hagar is her life was pretty tough. And God sent an angel to tell her, I see you. I see you. So she is the one that gave him the name El Roy, the God who sees me. When our insecurities are taking over, we have to remember who we are. We are chosen, we're royal, we're holy, we belong to God. He has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light, and we are seen. We are heirs of the throne. Romans 8:17 tells us, now if we are children, we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Ladies, let's give our anxieties and our insecurities to God. And let's stay in his word. Let's memorize. I'm going to. I can do it. You can do it. Memorize what he's saying to us because he loves us and he cares for us. Let us always remember who we are. We're a child of God. We are heirs to the throne. We are loved by the one true King, and we are seen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for always being here with us. Thank you that when we struggle with anxiety and insecurity, you're with us. You see us, and your love endures forever. It's your love and your hope that gets us through the tough times. Remind us, Lord, during these tough times that we are your children. We are your heirs. And remind us of your love. We love you, Lord, and we rejoice in you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're going to have our time of reflection. And the question will be on the screen. It's, do you struggle with anxiety and insecurity? If so, in what areas of your life do you battle this? What is God saying to you concerning giving this over to him?
You unravel me. With a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance.